Hey, welcome to the Girl Talk Podcast. My name is Jayshree, and I am the creator, the founder, and full-time CEO of the mental health brand, Health and Happiness. I just want to say Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome back. I can't believe it's 2022 already. So this week, we're going to be talking about some H&H updates, but also some tips about starting therapy. So we won't be too hot and heavy this week, but just a little something to get us back in the swing of things. So let's jump right in. Alrighty, so if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook at healthandhappiness019, then you already know about our new website. Super exciting. And our most recent revamp, both in design but also in content. So if you are not a part of that I already follow you group, then let's talk about it a little bit. So on December 17th, I believe it was, I released a website. I launched our first website, and I just wanted something for all of our information to be on, whether it's resources, fundraising events, regular community outreach events, podcast links, all that good stuff. I wanted it to be in one place without the whole link tree idea. Like, I really wanted a professional look as I transition into the new year. And, you know, I have some high hopes for 2022, and I have some really exciting things going on this year. And so I wanted there to be a real and true home base other than just social media, especially for our folks that listen to the podcast but aren't on Instagram or aren't on Facebook and who really just want a break from the social media stuff. I still want you to be able to have access to updates and things of that sort. So I have the website link in the episode notes, so feel free to tap into that and check it out. And of course there you'll see the quote unquote design revamp as well, so you won't miss out on any of the goodies. While I'm here, I just wanted to let everyone know, although on social media and on the new website, I have been promoting and talking about a journalathon for the new year. It was supposed to be from January 1st to January 31st, and then money was going to be collected no later than February 6th. Now, I hate to break some hearts for those who are looking forward to it or just looking forward to see how it would turn out. Unfortunately, due to low volume of participation, I made the executive decision to go ahead and cancel that fundraiser so that we can make room and put our focuses towards something that will actually generate conversation or just some community togetherness. So there is another fundraiser that will be coming up that I will post about in the next couple of weeks that I want you guys to be on the lookout for. It'll be on social media, on all the social media platforms, excluding Twitter, which I'm thinking about shutting down, and on the website. So be on the lookout for both of those things. But of course, I'll give you guys warnings and I'll let you know for the weeks to come. So the journalathon has been canceled. However, if you kind of skimmed and looked at some of the journaling prompts and you were like, "Ooh, I like that," or "Ooh, I kind of want to do that, but I'm not comfortable writing about that on such a looked at platform like Google Forms," and you might have wanted to take that onto your own journaling journey, I do still have those prompts available for you guys on the website. So the prompts are still available, still there. You just won't be able to like type in the Google form. Like, they're laid out plainly on the website. So again, I will put the website link in the episode notes and you'll be able to check that out at a later time. So yeah, I know that was a mouthful, but I just kind of wanted to get those announcements / updates in, excuse me, in and out of the way, so we could really get to kind of like the meat of this week. So Now that I have worked on this revamp and transitioned health and happiness, or HH, into this new arena, mental health is still my main focus and will forever be the goal. However, I wanted to simplify the idea of the work that I want to do in the Dover community. And hopefully one day to further a further reach. And so I came up with the idea of advocating for therapy, psychotherapy. And so I've noticed recently in conversations, both on social media and in my own personal experience with friends and family and things of that sort, I think people are coming around to terms of talking about mental health and things of that sort. However, I'm realizing that there seems to be a disconnect when it comes to actually going to therapy. And that's, I believe that's both due to lack of funding, people not being covered by their insurance to go to therapy, or not even having the means to pay for it outside of their, I mean, outside of insurance. So, excuse me, some people just might not have insurance. So, how can you go to something, or how can you put forth the energy to work on your healing and to start this new journey of self-discovery and really unpack a lot of different things in your life if you can't even get there? You know what I mean? So, that's where my focuses are right now, is specifically talking about therapy, giving out resources. And in the long run, I really do want to be a nonprofit organization where the funds that I raise, the money that gets donated, the seeds that our community plants into this program will hopefully one day be able to go back to the community for people to attend therapy, and if they so choose, therapy is, from my own experience, has been a place of has been a very sacred place for me over the past 3 or 4 years. And I say that because I think I'm a type of person where I like to be mindful of other people. And so when, although I might be available to be a listening ear or try to figure things out with you or talk things through with you or just try to see where your head is at on any particular day, I notice that I'm not as comfortable sharing my own stuff. And so being in therapy has helped me both vent, just to be like, whew, I needed to get that off my chest, or wow, I didn't even realize that was bothering me until I got here, or wow, this thing from 10 years ago is affecting the adult that I'm becoming now. And so I really want to be able to kind of give that to people. I want to be able to give that same feeling of relief and that same feeling of, oh God, I'm not alone anymore. Someone's listening to me. Someone hears me. Someone understands and is helping me and can help me. I want to give that to someone else. I want to give that to a lot of other people. So I just want to make that plain that in 2022, health and happiness, this is who we are. This is who I am. And this is where we're going forth in the future. Y'all on board with me? I hope so. I think I'm hearing yeses. I'm hearing yes, Jayshree, we're on board. Yes, Jayshree, we want this for our people. We want this for our community. And I love it. Alrighty, so our tips and tricks for starting therapy. Tip one, shop around. I cannot stress this enough. Shop around for the type of therapy that works and fits best for either your diagnosis or for just where you are in life right now. And shop around for different therapists.
different professionals. The first professional you meet might not be for you. The second professional you meet might not be for you. And that is okay. I think something that enough people don't get is that when you go to therapy, you are, essentially spilling your guts out to a stranger. And so I think it is in your best interest as the client, as the patient, to make sure that whoever you are sharing your life with understands you as a human being, your diagnosis or your reason for being there, and can help you, like genuinely help you. I've said it before. Well, I don't know if I've said it before on here, but I've said it in my head at least, or to my family, that I spent my first 2 years of therapy, I'll be plain, I had a white female therapist and I didn't shop around. I was a sophomore in high school, and after meeting with a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist was like, yeah, that's depression, love. And so me and my mom, you know, of course my mom being my mom, goes into, okay, let's find you a therapist, let's get you in to see someone. And so of course, I'm not gonna lie, in my head I was already kind of like, I kind of want a black female therapist, not gonna lie. But I didn't get that. And now reflecting, it's like, did I not get that because of fear of just like wanting it all to be over, or and then not putting in the effort to really look for myself? Or, not gonna lie, I don't know where that thought was going because I lost it. But the point is, I kind of went with the first therapist that my mom offered, sort of. And this isn't to drag my mom in any way, but it's just the idea that I didn't shop around based on my compatibility with her, but more so based off the fact that it was a therapist, it was easy, it was close to home, and she was trained in what I needed. I knew that on paper, she could help me. And that was really all I cared about at the moment, because at that time I was feeling really, really bad. So it's just like, yes, the therapy helped, but the therapist connection with me did not. And over the first couple of months that I was with her, maybe like the first 6 months or so, not to say that I got worse, but things definitely weren't looking up. And, you know, people always talk about the red flags in relationships. Well, pay attention to red flags with your therapist too, because that's a very intimate relationship to have. That relationship, when it first got started, it was like, you know how you first meet someone and you're not quite sure how you feel about them? It's not like you hate them, you don't even know them, but they're not your favorite either. I'm not gonna lie, that's how I felt about her when we first met. It was like, okay, she seems to know what she's doing. She's got a degree on the wall. Like, they hired her. She must be good. But over the two years or one and a half, whatever, years that I spent with her, it really got me thinking, like, is this working? And I think there were a couple of moments in particular that made me wish I had shopped around a little more. But when I think about the cultural aspect of things, I think that really kicked in when I was thinking about when I was a senior in high school and I was looking at colleges and really deciding where I wanted to go. And so a dilemma that I really faced was between going to like my family legacy school, which is right here near home, like up the street, or do I go to, which is also an HBCU, might I add, or do I go to the school that really had my heart, Towson, which is just a little state line jump away. And I knew I would have family nearby, but it was also a PWI. And so that was really difficult for me at the time because it's just like, do I go with the safe option, close to home, in-state tuition, HBCU, around my people, or do I go away from home, PWI, but a school that aesthetically I loved and really worked for the major that I had in mind at the time? And at this point in time, COVID was at its peak, and I was no longer physically in school. And so, as you all know, we're getting close to decision day, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And so, I almost felt a sense of not anxiety, but like nerves, like nervousness, and almost like walking on eggshells when I explained my dilemma to her. And I didn't like that. Like, thinking about that now, I don't like that at all. Like, the idea that I felt like something that's very important to my future and my life, the fact that I felt fear about talking to my therapist, of all people, my therapist about. Like, that should be the one person that I should be able to talk to and say, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Like, do I stay playing for the team? Like, or do I go away even though I know I'm gonna be basically surrounded by a lot of other people? You know what I mean? Like, do I stay home for comfort, for cultural comfort? Or do I go away and potentially lose that? And so going off to college, you know, that's the time where I feel like people always talk about high school being coming of age, but college is your true coming of age story. And so it's just like, do I spend 4 years in an environment that nurtures me and reminds me that I'm beautiful, I'm loved, I am fantastic? Or do I go somewhere where it's just like another name on a roster? And that really concerned me. And so the fear of addressing that to my white therapist, probably should have shopped around a little more. So when I started college, I met a new therapist. Like, I dropped the old one and found a new one off of Therapy for Black Girls. Check it out. And I loved her. I love her so much. Like, she is a therapist that 15, 16-year-old Jayshree needed more than anything. And I wish I had her then, but we can't look at the past, we can only look at now. And I'm thankful that I found her when I did, because the true coming of age, that college season, she came in clutch. So, yeah, just like, remember to shop around and find a therapist that works for you. Look around at the different types of therapy, which I'm going to talk about both on the podcast and also on Instagram and stuff like that, about the different types, because I think so often we get caught up in the talk therapy, like, I'm going to sit on the couch, they're going to sit in the chair, and I'm just going to talk about all my issues. Like, that's not the only option we have, people. There are so many different other options. So find what works best for you. So that's step one. Shop around for your therapist and your therapy. Cool. Step two. This is more of a mental note. Be mindful of the fact that therapy is not a one-day process. It's not a one-week process. It's not a one session process. There will be days where you are going to walk in that room, maybe coming off of a decent to good day. You're going to get in there, you're going to talk about some stuff that has been bothering you, and you are going to leave and be like, I feel like a two. And that is just the reality of it. therapy is meant to pull up and unroot those unhealthy and negative thinking and behavior patterns, and that is going to make you uncomfortable. And it's okay, because that's a part of the work. I have left sessions feeling so confused and even annoyed with my therapist at times. I'm not gonna lie. I remember one time in high school, probably like my junior or senior year, I can't remember, sometime in high school, I had gone to a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, because I usually go to those in the morning and then I just transition right into the school day. Well, this day I had a dentist appointment, I think, and I decided, hey, let's do therapy this morning as well. Silly fool. I get to therapy and I'm just kind of like waiting. I finally go in and I don't even remember what I was talking about or what we were talking about. But when I tell you, I left up out of there and I was just like a mess. It was a mess. HOTMESS. I was a hot mess. And I still had to go to school. And I'm now like in my head, like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Like, now I don't know. I don't even know how to fix this situation. Like, I didn't have the tools at the time to cope or to process the feelings I was feeling. So she's just like, all right, I'll see you next week or in 2 weeks or whatever. And I was just like, okay. And I just left. I didn't even make my next appointment. I was just like, get me out of here. And so that feeling of not even comfortability, but feeling unsatisfied. Like, have you ever eaten a meal or watched a movie and it's finally over and you're like, meh, like, meh? That's how I felt. It's just like a feeling of not being settled, like something not sitting well. And that's how I felt. And now, although I do not recommend going to therapy before work or before school, that's a mistake I will never make again. I don't recommend, but I just want you to be mindful that there will be hard days. Life itself is already difficult, and I'm sure you're going to therapy because things have been difficult. But I want you to know that even though I left that session feeling rough, or even though you might leave a session feeling confused or even misunderstood, I want you to know that it is all a part of the work. And just because you left feeling a certain way doesn't mean that you have to stay that way. You know, talk to a friend. You know, I ended up talking to my mom and then going into the building, not even going to class, but going to my guidance counselor and having to talk to him too. So it's just like, don't ever feel like your therapist or your session is the end all be all. If you're not feeling great after that session and you're like, I need to talk to my homegirl, or I need to talk to my bro, or I need to talk to my mom, do that. Do what you need to do to ease that feeling if it has become so unbearable or unmanageable. If that's the right word, unmanageable, whatever. Because yes, days are going to be tough. Yes, days are going to be hard. But you don't have to stay in that feeling forever. You don't have to stay in that feeling for the rest of the day. And I just want you to know, like, yes, the hard days come with therapy, the hard sessions, the difficult conversations, the uncomfortable conversations come with going to therapy, because that's the work. But it doesn't have to be that way forever. And I like to look at that as the silver lining of therapy, it's not forever. Even though right now it might be uncomfortable, and even though right now it might feel like you want to scream, or like you want to leave, or like you want to say, I'm never coming back to therapy again. Just know that it won't last forever. So yeah. And my last little tip for you guys is going to be a bit long, but hasn't it all been? is therapy is for you. You. Not for you to go in and talk about how you can fix your mom. Not you going in to talk about how you can fix your boyfriend. Not for you to go in and talk about, oh my God, no one ever listens to me. It is for you. Look in the mirror and say, therapy is for me. Therapy is for me to figure out and heal me. You can't go to therapy expecting to fix your family. Because if that were the case, you'd be in family therapy, not individual counseling. And I learned that the hard way. Not last year anymore, but 2020, at the end of 2020, I met with my therapist, and you know, me being me, I'm like, that's my girl. And so I'm talking to her about a situation I have with my friends, and she's, you know, kind of like making the situation, how do I put it? She helped me see the situation from an objective and outward perspective. And I gotta be honest, when I saw the picture, the way she was describing it, I did not like the way that I looked. I'll just say that. And I'm not gonna lie, she hurt my feelings, and she kind of had me in my Gucci bag, because I'm just like, you're supposed to be here for me, like you're here to support me, you're here to be on my side. No, she's not. She's there to help me to heal and let go of old trauma and unhealthy thinking and behavior patterns. That's it. She's not here to babysit me or to pat my back and tell me, Jayshree, you're always right. You're in the right every time. No, because let's be real, I'm not. But that was hard. At the time, that was very hard for me. I'm just like, I know she did not just say that I'm basically wrong. And so I really had to take a step back and look at myself and say, okay, Jayshree, so if she's saying, if the professional, if the one with the degree on the wall is telling me that maybe I haven't been the best friend I could be, maybe I haven't been. Maybe I've been selfish. Maybe I've been in my own head so much that I just couldn't see the big picture. I couldn't see the forest for the trees because I was too blinded by my own hurt feelings. Bingo bongo, that's it, people. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own feelings that we can't seem to see anybody else's hurt. We can't seem to see how the situation has affected friend A, friend B, or your mom or your dad. Like, the main character syndrome has got to stop. We assume that because we're hurting that we're innocent. We assume sometimes that just because our feelings are hurt, or just because we haven't done anything pointedly, quote unquote, wrong, that we haven't done some damage too. And so that's the whole point of therapy. Therapy is not meant to make you the bad guy, but to help you see things from another perspective that we have been too blind to see. You know, it can be easy to think that your therapist is there for you. I'm sorry, got myself jammed up. It can be easy to think your therapist being there for you is equivalent to them ignoring your unhealthy behaviors, but it's not. They're not equal. They're not the same thing. They're two very different things. Your therapist is there to help you, not to enable you. I'm gonna say that again. Your therapist is there to help you, not to enable you. We are there to heal, we are there to grow. They don't call them growing pains for nothing. Yes, it is mental, but it is still very painful. It's hard to hear you were wrong. And I think sometimes that's why it's so difficult to apologize, because we get so caught up in our own feelings that we're just like, well, my feelings are hurt. How can I be the one in the wrong? Well, while you were in those hurt feelings, what did you say? While you were in those hurt feelings, what did you do? So, let's just be mindful of all of that. And that's it. Shop around for a therapist and for your type of therapy. Therapy can be tough, but so are you. So be prepared for it and remember that that's not the end. And remember, therapy is for you, for your healing, not for you to go in there and try to fix your family. Okay? You got it. You got it. You can do it. And this thing isn't too hard for you to work it out. So I hope that anyone who starts therapy this year finds a therapist that epitomizes what they need and can help them grow and blossom into the beautiful thing you were meant to be. So yeah, that's all I got. Not you making it to the end. Thank you so much for joining me again for the Girl Talk podcast with me, Jayshree, your host as always. We made it, y'all. We made it through 2021, and it's time to kick the door down to 2022. It's gonna be an amazing year. I don't know what all is gonna be coming. I don't know. And what I'm not about to do is stress myself about it, and neither should y'all. Don't stress. You got it. Remember all your coping techniques. If you got them, use them. And I just hope you all have an amazing rest of your week. And don't forget to catch me on social media on Facebook and Instagram at healthandhappiness019. Again, that's health and happiness 019. And don't forget to check out the new website too. I'm just so excited and I can't wait to share all the new stuff with you guys this year. And remember, the website will be in the episode notes. So check it out. So yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.